Hey guys, Stu here for Stu's Views, episode 5. Been quite a while since I've done one of these. I don't know, maybe 4 to 6 weeks. I think closer to 6 weeks than 4 weeks. And yeah, there's a reason for that. It's just been absolutely insane at my house. For those of you who've been keeping score, I, of course, have been redoing my garage. The roof needed to come down and get replaced and other thing, new electrics in there, and they are all now done. The work in there by the tradesmen, but we are still getting shelves put together and then putting things on the shelves and putting things back in there. So what does that boring piece of information mean for you? Probably nothing, but for me it means that my expected return to the MMC was meant to be mid-April, which is what we are at now. Unfortunately, it won't be till about mid-May now. So another month before I'm absolutely available to say to the guys, yep, I can record this week. I could jump on back now, but it really would be pointless because it would just be me saying, yeah, I can record. Then last minute something comes up and I've got to pull out, and then it just throws everything out of whack. The guys have been recording and putting out shows pretty solidly this year. So me coming back at this point in time would only drag things back to how it was last year when there was very, very little content being put out. So I am willing to wait another month or so until, oh, here comes the rain, until I am fully able to come back, and then I will be back. I'll stop being the Sid Barrett of the MMC and get back to being the me. Okay, also I've had other things going on in my life. Work has been very, very busy. It has picked up quite a bit. My wife had an accident at home where she slipped and fractured her ankle, and also did some damage to her syndesmosis on her knee or something. I don't know. Anyway, she was out of whack, literally could not move for a few weeks. I had to take a few weeks carer's leave for her off of work, and she's now thankfully getting back to near full capacity of walking, but it's been tough for her, and it's been tough in here at the start. It's gotten better, as I said. What else can I tell you? I've also become a grandfather over the last, about nearly a month ago. My daughter, who is really my stepdaughter, but I've been her father since she was six. She's now 23, I think, 24, going to be 24 this year. Gave birth to a baby girl with her partner. So, there's that. So there's a new, I mean, she doesn't live here, obviously. She's moved out of home and their house is being built at the moment. So, and she's living elsewhere. But, another little one around, not permanently in here, but, you know, it's pretty cool. So, yeah, there's been that. Now, to address the sort of mini elephant in the room, yes, I have disappeared off of social media. I am still on Instagram, but I've only put up one post, which is of my granddaughter, in the last nearly 6 weeks. I've just stayed off it. Facebook, I've deactivated my account. If anybody saw me there with no picture, and I've not deleted anybody or unfollowed anybody. I haven't done that. It was just becoming too much of a damn distraction. There was notifications always popping up. And yeah, you could say, well, why don't you just ignore the notifications? Yeah, you could. But I thought, just deactivate it for the moment. Just completely get rid of it. It was also becoming pretty toxic in there, things that were going on. You know, posts I was seeing from particular people. I won't name names. I was like, just completely get rid of it for the moment. Will I be back? Most likely, but I tell you what, if I come back, my involvement will be very, very minor. You know, it'll be browse once every couple of days and that's it. And then if I post, it'll most likely just be a post that's linked directly from Instagram. That'll be about it. And maybe something in the MMC group. But to be honest with you now, at the moment, I am not missing Facebook at all. It's just, I don't miss it. It feels good to be away from it. It really does. Twitter, I haven't been on there for nearly 5 years, so I am just fucking off social media. I don't care for it right now. So that is sort of like the housekeeping, what's been going on with me and my sort of disappearance from, you know, planet Earth, etc. But I am still here. And I will be getting quite a few of these Stu's Views out. There's this one now that you're listening to. I'll be recording another one directly after this, which will be out a couple of days from post day of this one. So you're going to get two within about 2 or 3 days of each other. I'll then also be doing another one. I've just got a film in today from Amazon. I'm not going to say what it is. That I will watch, I'd say probably tomorrow night, and I'll record another view on that on Saturday. I've actually got a few days off work right now. I needed some space, so I took a few days annual leave. So I've got a little bit of time up my sleeve, you know, in between doing the garage work, which we're slowly scaling back on, because we do have the pod here with this stuff stored in it, but we're not racing against the clock to get stuff in there like we were to get the garage fixed, as we are to now get it out. So yeah, we're still doing with garage work, but not as gung-ho about it as I have been getting the stuff in there. So yeah, with this few days off that I've got, I am going to review a film that I picked up off of Amazon. I bought late last night, and it came in, a couple of hours ago from the dummy Amazon driver who just shoved it all in my letterbox instead of coming through the open gate, which I left open for him to come and bring it to my door. But hey, what are you going to do? So yeah, there'll be a third view up, I want to say probably around Sunday or Monday. So you're going to get pretty much three in a week. That won't be the norm from here on in until I come back. That's just to make up for the time that I have been away and, as I said, doing my Sid Barrett and basically just disappearing. So having said that, the film I'm going to be reviewing today is actually a documentary, and it's one. Oh, first of all, I must preface that I got this documentary sent to me by the Nez, Anthony Nesbitt, along with this and about another 70 or 80 others. I mean, I just got sent a shit ton of movies by Anthony. Like, I had three massive boxes turn up in one day of films from Anthony. I'm like, holy fuck, I couldn't believe the stuff that was in there. It's like, Nez, if you're hearing this, man, I should have emailed you. But as you know, I've just been literally off the grid, so I meant to thank you for all those that came in. There are some absolute gems in there. There's some I'm like, I haven't heard of this, but it looks good. And some like, holy shit, this is even out on DVD, like Going Berserk. I had no idea it was even out. I remember seeing that back on VHS. Oh, God, 35 years ago, maybe? A long, long, mid-80s for sure, I think I saw it. So, yeah, some really cool titles in there. And again, Anthony, thank you so much for sending those. I really do appreciate it. But there was one in there that when I pulled it out of the box, I was like, oh my fucking God. And it was a Studio 54 documentary, which Anthony was kind enough to send me on the deluxe edition, or the limited edition 2-disc Blu-ray DVD set. I'm like, oh my God, I heard about this. I wanted to see it, but I've never seen it. For those of you who don't know, I'm a massive fan of Studio 54 and the disco era of the 70s. I got no shame in saying it. For those of you who've been listening to the MMC for a while, you know I'm a massive Village People fan. One of my favorite films of all time is Can't Stop the Music. And I have no shame in saying it either. And I love that disco era from, say, like the mid-70s through to about 1980s when it died off. And I was obviously aware of Studio 54 through the movie, through obviously like photos and other things you'd seen throughout the years and stories about it. And also the movie 54, which I did see on either Christmas Eve or Christmas night, 1998, at the drive-in with my then roommate, my mate Christian, who I don't live with now, obviously, but we're still friends. And we saw double feature. We thought, screw it, let's go to the movies. I think it was Christmas Eve from memory. I don't think it was Christmas night. I think it was Christmas Eve. And we went and saw, the first film was Studio 54, followed by Halloween H2O. So, the film 54, I kind of liked, but it felt really heavily edited. Like, it felt like there was studio mingling or messing around. And it wasn't until a few years afterwards I read with the director, I think his name is Mark something. I haven't checked it up, so I'm just guessing. that there was a lot of studio interference with that film. There's apparently a longer cut of it out on Blu-ray, which I would like to get, but, you know, I'll get to it sometime in the future. But I do want that, because I think it has both cuts, but I want to see this longer one and just see what, if there was some sort of more, better coherence to the film than what there was, because it wasn't that good. But this documentary about Studio 54, made in 2017 or 18. Guys, I'm not looking this shit up. I mean, I'm not looking it up. I could do and sound like I'm knowledgeable. I'm not. I'm just flying by the seat of my pants with this one. Was one that I did want to see when I heard about it somewhere on some website or whatever. Or somewhere I heard about it. So I eagerly put it in that night and I watched it. And sat, watched it in one sitting. Undisturbed, like, you know, D&D on the door, do not disturb. And I was absolutely blown away how good it was. It's only 100 minutes, which may sound like a lengthy documentary, but for me, for somebody who wants to consume everything about Studio 54 and all about it and what went behind the scenes and how it was created and how massive it was, which I knew was popular, but holy crap, this thing was just like people just stampeding each other to get in the door, if you could get in. That was the whole problem. You needed to get the hell in there. And it was not easy from what this documentary shows. So, yeah, the documentary focuses on the years of 1977 to 1980, I believe it was. Yeah, 77. I think it opened in April 77 and was only open for 33 months, which is just 3 months short of 3 years. So I'm like, oh my God, I had no idea. I thought it lasted for about 6 or 7 years, but it was such a short amount of time. And this was literally the too much too soon. It was basically, it opened, it became massive straight away. And no sooner it was there, it was gone. It was shut down. And this documentary focuses on the two guys who created it. Steve Rubell is the more famous one, who was more the focus of 54, but also his partner, you know, business partner Ian Schrager, who they do speak to in this, because you know, I'm going to break a few spoilers, but there's nothing I'm revealing in this documentary that you would not already know, most likely. And they don't speak to Steve Rubell because he's died many years, you know, back in the late 80s. But they do speak to Ian Schrager; he's still alive. And they also speak to some of the silent partners in there, and it was about how Studio 54 became to be, how it grew into this monster straight away, and how basically the excess of it all is what shut it down. The skimming of money, which they were hiding in the ceiling, the rampant drug use in there, and all other things. Like, it was, this thing is hedonism times 100. Not visually, like, there's nothing in there that's going to, you know, make you say, oh shit, get the kids out of the room. Nothing like that, but just what you learn about this place, this sort of mythical, or not mythical, magical place, really, is just unreal. And I'm not going to lie, like, I was watching it thinking, man, how good would it have been to be, say, 21, 22 at the time, living in New York, and just, like, going to Studio 54 on a Friday night, and just going out and dancing. I mean, I'm not the world's greatest dancer, but I love disco music and shit. When you've got no inhibitions and you just go out on the floor, because no one's going to give a shit how you dance. I mean, unless you're obviously drawing attention to yourself. But, I mean, honestly, I would have loved to, like, spend a Friday night, go to, you know, work all day, go home, get changed, go to Studio 54, dance my ass off for a few hours. Then, you know, I don't know, wander on down the road over to Plato's Retreat. And, yeah, have some fun with various women, go home, get a couple of hours sleep, and get up and watch Saturday morning cartoons. Sounds like a good plan. So, yeah, that would have been a great way to spend a Saturday night, you know, Friday night, and a Saturday night, and a Sunday night, and a Monday night, and Wednesday night, Tuesday night. You get my point. I'm just, yeah, you get my drift. But, yeah, so it really does focus on the years of 77 to 80 and just how it all blew up from the start and just came crashing down with, FBI investigations, et cetera, et cetera. And it doesn't paint Studio 54 in a sort of bright light. and that they were being persecuted. They screwed up, the guys behind it. They admit, yeah, hey, we screwed up. And, you know, we weren't persecuted and zeroed in on to be these criminals that we weren't. They admit they fucked up pretty much. Yeah, it's a fascinating watch. I don't want to give too much away. I really, really recommend this thing. Unfortunately, the only extra, I mean, if I've got to complain about this edition, it's that the only extra is a theatrical trailer, which really, you can't give us some sort of extended interviews. You can't give us some deleted scenes. You can't give us a 30-minute documentary on Studio 54, like, you know, some sort of retro old one from, say, 1980, you know, when the place shut down, or 77 when it opened up, or through the years, you know, what, something like some old newscast. That would have been really good. Yes, you can find them out on YouTube, but to have them all sort of condensed under one release on a set of extras would have been good. But look, we got this documentary. There is a book that you can buy, which I have been eyeing off on Amazon, but oh man, it is pricey. We're talking at the moment nearly 100 Australian bucks to get in here. It's big, it's hefty, and they do show some photos in there, and it is freaking mind-blowing, but at the point in time of this recording, it is just cost prohibitive. You know, I said the same thing about the El Duce tapes, the Blu-ray, you know, it was a bit pricey, but it came down in price, and I ordered it yesterday, so I got the El Duce tapes on the way, thank goodness. But yeah, this one truly is out of my league price-wise. I mean, I love to have it, I love to have that goddamn thing on the shelf, but not right now. Anyway, what do I rate this documentary? I got to tell you, I got to give this a 9 out of 10. It really is that good. Yeah, again, it comes down to how much you love that lifestyle and the disco music, because the music, and I have been going back and listening to a lot of 70s disco since I watched a documentary, which was about a week back now. And how can you not like it? You know, it's, yeah, it's not metal, it's not hard rock, but it's fun, it's upbeat, it's happy. How can you listen to Get Up and Boogie by the Silver Convention, or what's that one by Sylvester? You Make Me Feel Mighty Real. You know, all these great songs out there. Do the Hustle, oh, by Van McCoy. That's my favorite of all time. I fucking love that song. I can just have it on repeat over and over and over. So, yeah, like I said, I really enjoy this. You know, hey, Stuart, what do you want for Christmas? Father Christmas says, a fucking time machine. Get me back to 1978 so I can go there and dance my ass off, then go to Plato's Retreat and have some fun. And actually, having said that, this would be a good double feature, documentary double feature, with the documentary American Swing, which is about Plato's Retreat, which actually I'm really, really considering doing on the MMC when I come back, because I think it'll be a really interesting topic, seeing as the three of us are pretty different people when we have ideas about certain things. I think that would be a good one to talk about. So, but yeah, I would say watch Studio 54, the documentary, then watch American Swing and get yourself a real slice of American or New York City life in the mid to late 70s. It's, you know, it's just a city as each other, but in different aspects. So that's my view for this one around. Again, sorry for the lateness. Shit has just gotten out of control. But like I said, there'll be two more to come. And it's time for me to sign off and say goodbye and start the next one. So, goodbye.